Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Bond Vigilantes TV. Today, we wanted to focus on a country that has been really puzzling investors and economists for many years, and that is now enjoying its longest growth spell in over a decade. That country, of course, is Japan. And to talk about Japan, I'm joined this morning by John Lodian. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Pierre.
John is deputy fund manager on our Japanese equities portfolio, so he's a great person for me to ask about Japan about. In order to start, John, you can maybe set the context. We hear often the story of the lost decades in Japan in the 90s and the 2000s. What does that mean for you, essentially?
Okay, well, you know, when you say the lost decade, a lot of people forget that the original financial crisis in terms of real estate markets crashing was in Japan in the early 90s. And much as we found out in the West, it takes quite a long time to work those problems out, particularly on bank balance sheets. You know, Japan wrestled with that through most of the 90s. It was only the early 2000s that they were able to climb out of it and indeed started doing quite well as an economy. You know, when that happened, bang, the great financial crisis hit and set the economy back. They had a series of other external shocks of which they're finally sort of climbing out, and we're seeing the fruits of the reform process over the last 20 years or so.
Great. And we're finally seeing inflation as well. So we have positive inflation in 17. If you look at Bloomberg consensus forecast, we should have positive inflation in 18 and 19. In Japan, can we say that the war against deflation is finally over?
Well, you know, as you said, the trend is quite positive. On the other hand, it's probably a bit premature to say that, particularly given that internally as an institution, the Bank of Japan tends to be biased towards tightening, and they have made some pretty critical mistakes tightening too early in the past. I would argue, you know, 2000 or even 2006-07.
Yeah.
But, you know, as you said, signs look positive. I mean, the prices are trending in the right direction, and we're seeing signs of, particularly on the wage front.
Okay. Yes. Yeah, staying so on the subject of the Central Bank of Japan, as you know they've been buying a huge amount of assets. I think they own 60% of all Japanese ETF outstanding. The Japanese government bond is still pegged at zero at the 10-year point. So and Japanese government bonds have been extremely resilient, even in the recent government bond sell-off that we've seen globally. Do you think the Central Bank of Japan will be able to normalize monetary policy in some way over the next few months?
Well, you know, I've learned over the 22 years I've looked at Japan, never to say never. But, you know, the Bank of Japan has been premature in tightening or normalizing before in the past, and it hasn't really worked out so well. So I'm not exactly sure what they'll do,
cautious.
But there's reason to think, indeed, that maybe they should be a little bit more patient in terms of letting the price increases and the reflation work its way through the real economy.
Okay. And speaking about the real economy, so now we're enjoying finally 7 quarters of positive growth in Japan. We often hear about Abe's three arrows as well, which are very loose monetary policy, fiscal policy, and structural reforms. Is that really why Japan is in a better place economically today than it has been in the past?
Well, I think for sure the monetary policy has helped. You know, the third arrow, structural reform, gets a lot of press, and people like to talk about that one. I would say that's very much still a work in progress. But with the Abe strategy, that was always going to be in the back end of this decade, 2019-2020. You know, one thing he wanted to do, which was different from his predecessor, in particular Koizumi, was get the economy reflated, get the real economy firing on all cylinders, and then do the hard structural reform. Because vested interests will dig in if the economy is not doing so well. So the idea is if everyone's doing well, then that's a much more favorable backdrop to do the structural reform and the deregulation.
Okay, great. And so in terms of financial markets, obviously, I know that you can't make forecasts, but do you think that the positive economic backdrop will continue to be a tailwind for Japanese equities?
Hard to say. And as you said, we don't really take a macro view at all. On the other hand, there's reason to think, particularly given all of the improvements in corporate governance and indeed restructuring of their of the earnings structure over the last 8 or 9 years, that the earnings structure is a lot more resilient than maybe it's been in the past.
Okay, great. John, thanks for being here this morning. In terms of what to watch out for this week, it's actually quite a busy week on the data front. On Tuesday, President Trump will be giving his State of the Union address before Congress. Then on Wednesday, we have the all-important Fed meeting on Wednesday evening. And also on Wednesday, we have euro area inflation. And finally, on Friday, we have the non-farm payrolls in the U.S. that will be published. On that report, we'll be looking especially at the updated unemployment rate in the U.S. as well as the pace of growth of hourly wages. So thanks to all for watching. Tune in next time and have a great week.